We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
The latest on an alleged plan to assassinate Donald Trump. This man grabbed by police at a packed rally in Las Vegas, and ABC's Pierre Thomas has new details in Washington.
Weighing up the mood of conservative America in a gun show in West Virginia. Among the rifle racks and ammunition, there's anger and dark talk of looming conflict.
After Senator Rand Paul was allegedly assaulted at his home.
We are witnessing a radicalization of libertarians all across the country.
Dear viewers, we have just received word that Libertarian Death Squad, which are here with me.
We've come to take our country back.
He also worries that civil war could be on the way back.
Her son, 19-year-old Horace Lorenzo Anderson, was shot and killed inside the then cop-free zone that persisted for weeks on Capitol Hill.
Of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not.
It's taken just 4 weeks for that statement to be proved so spectacularly and alarmingly wrong. Reality, thousands of miles away, is now on him.
China is urging its citizens not to travel abroad and struggles to contain the virus.
We will be standing up Christmas Island as a quarantine.
Go, Brandon, I agree.
Hey, by the way, are you banned
from entering the country?
Christmas ornaments, drywall,
declared that the coronavirus
name three things that don't hang themselves. That's what the American people think.
I'm not fucking leaving. The show goes on. This is my home. They're gonna need to send in the National Guard, a fucking SWAT team, cause I ain't going nowhere. Fuck them. Ooh.
We start with breaking news out of Washington, D.C., where six Capitol Police officers have been injured amid a chaotic protest tonight. This is happening outside of the DNC headquarters. Demonstrators were there calling for a ceasefire in the war between Israel and Hamas. At one point, Capitol Police started pushing people back, saying the protest had taken a violent turn. It's not clear right now what led up to that point.
One protester was arrested for assaulting a police officer. The six Capitol Police officers injured were treated for injuries ranging from minor cuts to being punched. Several members of Congress were inside the building at the time and had to be evacuated, including Representative Sean Casten of Illinois. He tweeted tonight that Americans have a right to assemble and protest, but to respect local police orders.
Watch breaking news on YouTube. Subscribe to ABC 7 Chicago Eyewitness News.
Hey, welcome back to Inside Four Walls. I'm, of course, your host, James Madison, and I want to record this topic a little bit sooner, but, you know, time gets away from you. But this episode, right, it's about a very important topic. Something we're going to definitely be covering and uploading footage post-incident of, if it happens. I fear a repeat of the chaotic 1968 riots when Dems returned to Chicago for their summer convention. Bill Clinton, guru James Carville, grave warning over far-left agitators who threatened to tear the party to shreds. From, published originally March 7th. So, again, I was going to record this sooner. A lot of the newer articles I pulled up, it's more or less just the same thing. So we have this article, a couple of articles to get into, just so you see people from left, right, and center are all talking about this exact topic. Because over the Hamas, Gaza thing, Ukraine, Israel, and for a lot of these far leftists, running Joe Biden, period. There's a very goofy, small faction out there that seems to think Joe Biden should have, like, stepped down for Cornell to step up. Wow, to quote the great Eminem. Look at these circuses, look at these clowns in town while I'm about to shut the shit down. Not really. I'm actually going to sit back with a big bowl of popcorn. You know, the Dune popcorn buckets. You know, the kind of popcorn buckets. Yeah. Anyway, I hate myself. Let's get into it. By James Carville of... Oh, yeah. This article... Should have said that earlier. This article is written in Chicago. And there's been people trying to get, like, permits and trying to get... Let's get into it. James Carville is a veteran political consultant. Who sent Bill Clinton successful in 1990? How ironic that Democrats in 2024... Yeah, I love Alysdexia. Nearly six decades ago, delegates were gathered inside the International Amphitheater in the Windy City to nominate Herbert Humphrey. Hey, there's this great writer out there. He's the former comedic columnist for the Miami Herald. His name is Dave Barry. He has a lot of hilarious writings from the early and late 90s about Hubert Humphrey. Hubert Humphrey, as he says it. God, go read Boogers on My Beat. It's one of my favorite books. I've read it when I was a little kid, and it's the only book I actually bought on Audible too. It's my favorite book of all time. Moving on. Some jokes. Occasionally. Amphitheater, Windy City. Tens of thousands of anti-Vietnam demonstrators were met by more than 2,000 police and National Guardsmen. And now, mind you, the Guardsmen today and the police officers, defunded. A lot of them are stripped. And the legal system in Chicago protects the rioters and the protesters. Anyway, so these rioters are in a much better standing now than they were back then. Because they've gained so much traction with the far progressive left that they've managed to neuter the city and the state's ability to protect itself. Shout out to my family in Rockford. Ooh, oh man, are y'all going on vacation anytime soon? I got a good couple days for you to get out of town. Just saying. Because Rockford ain't that fucking far. It's far enough, but like, shit. Like, I can't sit here and act like I know shit about Chicago. I'm only familiar with the Rockford, Illinois region, which is like a suburb. Off. It's like the more run-down chunk of, like, Chicago Section 8 area. But the only part of that chunk of, I don't know, I guess they call themselves a suburb, I don't know. That's the only part I'm familiar with. Continuing on. I remember watching it all, I beg your pardon. As a 23-year-old, fresh out of the Marine Corps. All jokes aside, thank you for your service. The war was as real as it could get for me. Yeah, you know, after America false flagged itself into invading a country and with the false public narrative of we're gonna end a country. Right. Yeah, totally a successful war, by the way, as we fled from the embassy with our tail between our legs and our dicks tucked up our ass. Yeah, great. Can't you tell I'm so pro-Vietnam? Tear gas was fired into the crowds. Officers indiscriminately beat protesters. Hundreds were sent to the hospitals and even more were injured. Keep in mind, we're not too far. We're only a few years. We're about a decade and a half, two decades away from the Kent State shooting under Nixon. So remember, protesters used to get fucked up. Protesters used to get killed back in the day. Nowadays, protesters are likely to kill you. And the police will protect them while they do it. Shout out to Portland. Shout out to Washington State. Shout out to California. Shout out to fucking New York. And of course, Illinois. Oof, oof, oof. Television cameras captured it all, communicating to the Americans at home that the disorder that they feared was worse than it seemed. I'm not predicting that Chicago streets will again erupt into violence, but if tensions in the Democrat Party continue to build over the ongoing Israel-Gaza war, the disconnected are going to seek an outlet. An outlet value. I think he meant to say venue. And their numbers may be overwhelming. In Michigan, Democratic primary, 100,000 voters cast ballots for uncommitted. Yes, they did. Instead of President Joe Biden, along with the students in Ann Arbor, fuck Ann Arbor, you bunch of commie pussies. I don't like Ann Arbor. I've talked about Ann Arbor a bunch of times. I spent too much time living too close to that fucking place. Fuck Ann Arbor. The only thing I'll give Ann Arbor is two things. One, you have the pink elephant. Or sorry, you have the blind elephant and you have 8-Ball. Okay. I'll give you that. Yeah, you used to have good time, Charlie. It's kind of fucked up now. Alley Bar used to be okay, but now it's just a fucking regular ass bar now. Used to be like a towny thing. Not anybody goes there. You've been so consumed by your fucking watered down secondhand California San Francisco-esque values that your entire city fucking sucks. And it was all started because Ann Arbor wanted to try and overcompensate for a KKK rally that took place in the 60s, which got a little out of hand. In all honesty, when you go back and look at it, it got out of hand because leftist college students violently attacked the Democrat KKK, who were doing their, like, yearly march through Ann Arbor. It was a thing. Fact check, man. That's your homework for the day. Ann Arbor and the KKK riots in the 60s and 70s. And then Ann Arbor, like, way overcorrected, and some chick killed herself by jumping off the water tower. It was a whole thing. It was a whole fucking ordeal. Ann Arbor fucking sucks. And all the beautiful, gorgeous brick buildings and brick streets have been smashed and torn down as they build glass monolith after glass fucking monolith building with no fucking distinctive characteristics of any fucking kind whatsoever. Just a glass fucking building. By the way, Ann Arbor, your city filled with leftists that like to riot occasionally. Also, you get, you know, fucking Ohio college students who come in for the fucking college game and they smash your city. Yeah, let's just keep replacing all the brick and mortar with fucking glass. Because, yeah, great fucking thinking. Oh, and by the way, let's add about 1.5 billion fucking bike lanes. Why don't we? Yeah. Everything's a fucking one-way. All streets are one-ways. Meanwhile, there's a 9-lane bicycle fucking lane that can fit, like, fucking 18 Priuses and 37 billion bicyclists. And effectively, the cars have to drive on a thing the size of a goddamn sidewalk. I fucking hate Ann Arbor. Hate it. Every fiber of my fucking being hates that goddamn city. And U of M fucking sucks. Fuck the Wolverines. Fuck your fucking Muslim Brotherhood money. Fuck all that bullshit. And your fucking hardcore DEI bullshit. And also U of M be like, oh, well, we don't care about affirmative action being overthrown in the court. We'll still find a way to do it. Go fuck yourself. Hillsdale gang for life. Let's get back on the story. I fucking hate it. Continuing on. Anyway. And along with Arab American communities in Dearborn and Hamtramck, you know what's really funny about Dearborn? It's known for two things. Muslims and its fucking pork products. Dearborn Deli, huh? All pork sausages, all that good pork chop product. And Muslims. Okay. Continuing on. And Hamtramck. Dearborn's backyard. And college students in Ann Arbor. Black voters are upset over the carnage in Gaza. Black dudes who want to fuck fat white bitches are upset about it. And progressive leftists are upset about it. I'm telling you, man, most brothers don't give a fuck. Last weekend, First Lady Jill Biden was, though there is a running beef between large chunks of black Americans and Jews in Israel, either from, like, the Black Hebrew Israelite crowd there's a lot there. There's a lot there. Moving on. Last weekend, First Lady Jill Biden was heckled at a campaign stop in Arizona. Quote, "It's genocide, Jill! Genocide, Jill!" Wow, that's not good for a doctor. Literature. Yelled one demonstrator, quote, "You and your husband support the genocide of the Palestinian people!" Another shot. By the way, a couple of jobs I work with, I have these obnoxious leftists, and I'm just waiting for them to say something about it, about the election, so I can be like, oh yeah, I'm voting for Trump. What, am I supposed to vote for Genocide Joe? And just watch them slunk away. Passive cucks. Another shouted. Any pictures of the riot right here. Yep. Jesus Christ. Isn't that just the yellow bastard from Sin City next to Bill Clinton? Oh, sorry. No, that's Ron Howard. My apologies. This is a bad article. I should be such a dick to you. You should be fucking neo-wig. Certainly America's far left, but it is nice to hear people actually talking about the far left for a change in media. Usually the far left's talked about, it's like in reference to like an individual group, not as a blanket term, as they would always blanketly call it groups far right. Moving on. America's far left, for which it holds a very low opinion, is mobilized by the war. And they'll undoubtedly seek to exploit the unrest it creates, foolishly believing the turmoil advances their cause. But the deep unease over this conflict, pardon me, extends far beyond the rank and file. Yeah, and here's the thing about that. Just like we saw with BLM and a lot of these other leftist causes, once the violence and the rise in the looting started, approval with the average American tanked. Now, BLM is perpetually on the cusp of bankruptcy, with their public favor so fucking low, something we've covered in depth on this show before. If I remember to, I'll leave a link to this in the description below. But yeah, right up here. BLM recorded a $9 million deficit facing bankruptcy, while top BLM execs still make millions and get that funds. This was originally published 10 months ago. That just seems so wild for me to think. But, May 26, 2023. All right. So let's get back into the article. It would be a grave mistake for Democrats to ignore that. It's increasingly clear that if Biden wins a second term, that fucking chance, homie. I don't know if they can make printers that go burr hard enough. Still, get out and vote. Even if it's not for Trump or Biden, I don't give a fuck. Get out there and just do it right and vote for yourself, man. Feel your ego a little bit, baby. You fucking earned it. You know, you've been dealing with a lot of psyops and billions of dollars worth of propaganda that's been thrown at you that ain't worked. Maybe you should run for ballot, baby. Hey, put yourself on that bitch. Hey, you got it. You got it. Hey, you do you, boo. It's increasingly clear that if Biden wins the second term, it won't be with a duplication of his 2020 coalition. A winning alliance for Democrats in 2024 will be older and whiter. Not only that, you have a lot of like the deep funding from like very wealthy Jews. Let's not think too hard about where they got their money from. Are pulling out because of the whole Israel-Hamas thing. And not only that, you have like the other side of that, of like these wealthy, you know, Democrat donors who are pro-Hamas and pro-Palestine. And you have like these WEF groups, these George Soros types, who normally would back Biden really hard, but they also like to back these terrorist organizations that killed the West. So here you're sitting, you know, you're Joe Biden, you fucked every one of your... Joe Biden is literally the Bud Light president. Just like how Bud Light destroyed their standing with the gay community, the right, the left, every community imaginable, Joe Biden's really that group, right? Basically, if you see somebody drinking a Bud Light, that's like the percentage of fucking Biden voters. Being a little hyperbolic, but you get the idea. Enthusiasm among Democrat voters is in the toilet, and I've been talking about this for months, dog. Seeing it read here in print is fucking amazing. Because, again, I've been telling these stories for a while. I get MAGA confessionals at work because I'm a loud motherfucker. Like, I got my... This is downstairs, but I got a thermos, man. It's got all kinds of stuff. It's got, like, the Don't Tread on Me snake, Guns of America sticker. It's also got, like, the, you know, the Don't Tread on Me shit. You know, all kinds of fun little stickers like that. Very clearly... You know, I'm wearing my thing. I got, like, denim vest, denim jackets covered in patches. No commies, anti-Antifa, you know, Ugaloo-type patches on some of them. I'm not going to elaborate. You know, it's like, hey, right? I also get a lot of people come and they start shit. Or they'll come up and talk to me like, man, why do you like Trump? And then we'll talk to like, yeah, I'm going to vote for Biden. Man, he's done this. I don't like it. He's done this. I don't like it. He's done that. I don't like it. I can't vote for him. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I'm probably going to vote RFK. Or, you know, you get like these weird types. Or you're literally like, I can't vote for Joe Biden. I can't vote for RFK because he's the vaccine. He's against the vaccine. And it's like, wow. I can't. You're a unicorn at this point, dog. But, you know, do me a favor. If you think that way, keep getting them boosters. It will only help us all. Right? You're protecting us from your continued stupidity. But let's continue. Particularly black males. Again, something I've been talking about for a while. Support amongst black Americans, particularly black males, and those under 30 years old is nowhere near where it needs to be. Again, this is, you're observing something I've been talking about for about 2 years, buddy. Yeah. And by the way, when Trump got his mugshots, I told the story about two people I know. They're gas station attendants. I go up to the gas station here all the time. You know, I do a lot of like late night recordings. So, you know, you pop into the gas station, buy two of the monsters. But lately, it's been two of those 5-hour energy drinks. The big energy can ones. Really fucking good. And they're 2 for $5, the old monster can prices. Nice. Then you get buy two, get one free. So it's like 2 for $5 and a free one. $3 for $5 and whatever tax deposit is. Nice. But like 2 years ago almost, they were like, man, you really think Trump's not like not in with them, dog? Man. Now, if Trump really was an outsider, dog, they'd be going after him. They'd put him in jail, bro. They'd be arresting his ass. He'd have mugshots and shit, dog. He'd be Kangs and shit, dog. But he ain't Kangs and shit, is he, dog? It's like, all right, bro. And you're talking like, how do you mean he's not being targeted? You know, they're going after him. They raided his home, X, Y, and Z. Then the mugshot happened. All of a sudden, dog, all these black folk I know who were saying that tune, especially those two dudes who work at that gas station who were saying this shit, I go in the day after it's announced. They looked at me. One of them said it. He goes, damn, dog, you was right. I was like, what you mean? He goes, dog, I saw the news, bro. They mugshot his ass. And you see what he did? I'm like, yeah, he went and started selling t-shirts and shit. Had a big old dinner after he got arrested, after he got those mugshots taken. Raised like $3 million in 2 hours at a dinner. And made like a couple hundred million off of t-shirts and shit. That guy was like, yeah, what a fucking G. I was like, hell yeah, fuck yeah, dog. And went from there. And now I'm looking around, I see more and more black folk fucking repping some open MAGA gear. And I've been saying this for a long time. The average black American is a default conservative, but the most disenfranchised voters in America are the black demographic. Shout out to Lyndon B. Johnson. You'll have what? Hey, Lyndon. Hey, LBJ, two questions. One, how many boys did you kill today? And second, you'll have what group disenfranchised or voting Democrat for 200 years? What was that magic word in there, you fucking fat cock prick? Yeah. So, once you get the black vote, black voters, like, up and moving, I don't know a single black person, other than, like, the ones surrounded by white bitches, who's supporting Joe Biden. Every black person I know, like, that I personally know that I'd be hanging out with, maybe that's the core value there, right? I'd be hanging out with, is on the Trump train. Or if they weren't on the Trump train, they were fucking against Biden. Either they'd talk about shit like the Tuskegee experiment or any of that stuff. They'd be like, nah, I know what the fuck they did back then. You know, hey, I remember this. I remember hearing about this. Yo, my grandfather told me this. I saw that video when I was a kid. I saw Bill Clinton come on TV and apologize for this. I couldn't believe they did that. Hey, yo, bro, did you hear that song from Goody Mob called Cell Therapy where they talk about like the feds screaming outside your window and all the shit they did with the air with like, the Tuskegee experiments and MK Ultra and all the shit they did in Atlanta, Georgia? Yeah, like, these are conversations I'd be having with all these homies, and it's like, And then they do this shit with Trump, and now he's like, oh, shit, hold on. Then you get people like Ice Cube coming out, right? Now, you put Lil Nas X. Lil Nas X can endorse whoever the fuck he wants. It's not gonna make much of a difference. Old black heads ain't listening to him. Old heads, bottom line, ain't listening to him. Now, somebody like Ice Cube, and I goes, yeah, I'm working with Trump on this thing called the Platinum Plan. I was gonna do X, Y, and Z for the black votes in America. Oh, shit, all right, I'm down. The give me that? I hate to say it. That's how you get a lot of, like, the non-active black voters to vote. The give me that. I hate it. I hate it. I know a lot of black folks that are like, I'm voting for Trump because he gave me that stimmy. Like, oh, I hate that thinking. Oh, I hate that. But all right. You ain't getting a fucking another stimulus check, bitch. But if it gets you to vote. Oh, you know what I mean? He gave me that Obama money. Remember the Obama phone? That's that Trump stimmy. Is the new Obama phone. I hate it. I hated that so much. But you get the idea. Let's move on. Four more months of war is only going to make for more challenging times in Chicago. And the White House knows it. No wonder that before the Michigan primary, the President Joe Biden said, former Vice President Joe Biden, respect the office, said he thought a ceasefire was imminent. Oh, yeah, no, he said some shit. There was no proof to that. There was no backing to that. BBN and Killing Kids Yahoo came out and goes, hey, Joe, shut the fuck up. I'm not stopping. And you can't make me. And we're done talking, which basically held negotiations for another 6 months, potentially. Way to go, Joe. Oh, hold on. Don't know why everyone wants to text me now. But everyone wants to send me a bunch of text messages. Moving on. No wonder. Ceasefire was imminent, even though he may have been the only person to believe so. Maybe it was wishful. No, it was dementia talk. You heard the word ceasefire a lot and just said some shit. During the president's impromptu White House news conference last month, following special counsel Robert Hur's report, the president walked away from the podium, only to turn on his heels and take one more question about Gaza. Is this the clip? No, this would be the Joe Biden clip, but let's watch this one real quick, and I'll find the Joe Biden clip for you. What the fuck? Hold on. So sorry. I'm a 26-year-old boomer. Forgive me.
Okay. Yeah, when are you and the president going to call for a ceasefire?
Ah, yes. The wrath of the awakened Saxon. Hey! That's the face Jill made when Joe said, let's go Brandon! This is the exact same face, actually. Did you hear how sad that sounded? They went, 4 more years. All sad and shit. Alright, here we go.
You inspire it. I want you all, the LGBTQ Americans, to know the Biden-Harris administration has your back. I don't know who's hollering down there, but I can't hear you. Well, look. I can't hear her. What's she saying? Well, thank you. Whatever you're saying, I'm going to say that I can't hear you.
You know what Joe Biden's thinking right now?
Where am I here? The young. Where am I? Who's Joe Biden? Chocolate chip. I miss taking a shower with my daughter, but she's not a little girl. Maybe I should have spent more time with Hunter. Only time I touched that boy was push him out of the way of his sister. I could get to her easier. It smells like somebody shit themselves. Who's Joe Biden?
That's what Joe Biden's thinking right now. That's what's going on in his fucking head. There. Smooth brains. No bumps or ridges. All thoughts roll off like a water slide. Ain't shit up there.
Look, I've been labeled the most. Everybody best. Oh, I get it.
Okay, there's some energy there.
I'm not sure. No, I'm only joking. Look.
Ooh! Oh, hell yeah. Look, there's only two ways to look at that one. Joe Biden is either, there you go, 4 more years. He goes, I don't know if that's a good thing. Yeah, me neither, Joe. Or the bitch yelling, ceasefire now! Ceasefire now! The people that broke the ceasefire need a ceasefire! Because they're getting their shit stomped. Fuck both of those sides. I don't give a fuck about either team you're on. I don't fuck your team. Israel, Gaza, doesn't sound like America to me. I don't give a fuck about either of them. Wipe each other out for all I fucking care. Look, I know I have a small audience in Israel. It's nothing personal against you. I just personally hate funding your fucking country so much. And if we can't have a border, why the fuck should we protect yours? No offense. Just tell your president to keep the fight up to himself and leave us the fuck out of it. And I'll do the same with my president. Caprizi. Caprizi. Cool. And hey, look. Here's a couple shekels for you. Put them in your cap. Have a good day. Those are anti-abortion pins. Moving on. But yeah, the chick yelling, ceasefire now. Joe Biden goes, I don't know, that's a good thing. Oh, boy. On Sunday, Vice President Kamala Harris demanded an immediate ceasefire in Gaza in her most direct rebuke of the Israel government to date. Her most direct statement in her entire time as VP. Quote, people in Gaza are starving, the conditions are inhumane, and our common humanity compels us to act. I don't think it's that compelling. To be honest, I'm kind of bored with it. She said, while standing in front of Edmund Pettus Bridge of Selma, Alabama. Oh yeah, Selma, known for their equality and their long history of acceptance. Where state troopers brutally beat civil rights marchers nearly 60 years ago. I thought that was them. Wasn't sure. And on Monday, Harris met at the White House with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Cue Kanye with the net and the glasses of Yoo-hoo. Benjamin Netanyahu's chief political rival. He's also like, I don't know much about him, but I guess he's running like a populist type campaign. I don't. Anyone wants any information on the guy, let me know. Now there's no question that the GOP faces even stiffer headwinds than Democrats. In 2024, yeah, we don't. Republicans have hardly won anywhere since the Supreme Court overturned Dobbs v. Jackson's Women's Health Organization rule. The Constitution does not guarantee women's right to abortion. Yeah, that's a lot of cope, too. That's not true at all. Constitutional carry has rapidly expanded since then, too. Joe Biden's multiple investigations, tons of confirmations we've gotten. God, there's been like runoff elections and shit we've won. And also, no discernible victories? How about Joe Biden constantly almost getting outshadowed by uncommitted? Or the just brutal stomping that has Trump leading Biden in all these fucking polls. So I'm just, what do you mean? No discernible victories. That sounds like leftist cope to me, dog. I'm just saying. But alright, yeah. Totally. No discernible victories. There was another thing we got recently from the Supreme Court. Something about states and ballots and Colorado and Trump that affects all 50 states. Just a little thing about that, it just escapes me for no fucking reason. The Constitution does not guarantee a woman's right to abortion. It never did. But regardless, it would be an incredible folly for Democrats to dismiss the size of their political problem. Well, your problem's twofold. Half your party, and the other half, your other problem is literally the guy you got running for your party, with the person behind her. Like, And by the way, Kamala's gotta be doing it as an act, right? Like, come on. This bitch was kind of coherent before, and now she's just, yo, we did it. It's all these, like, basic little retarded comments and shit. Like, bitch, what happened to your brain? My other big concern, which I'm very vocal about, is President Biden's age. Bing, 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 bing. That's one of the biggest problems you got. Mainly because it's affecting his brain. The administration can potentially make the situation in the Middle East better by reining in the Israelis, or sending more humanitarian aid to Gaza, but there's no reducing the number of candles on President Biden's birthday cake. That's why I put it in. I've been around for a long time, and all of this together tells me that we are going to be in some very unpredictable moments in this election. I don't know exactly what they're going to be, but I promise you, they're coming. Perhaps in Chicago. And Democrats are running out of time to do something about it. I have more information coming out about this today. I'm just not going to make it all in this one episode because I don't want So let's get down here to the comments. Where did the fucking comments go? Okay, here we go. A fun woman says, the anti-war protests of Vietnam, of the Vietnam War era, directly affected Americans because our soldiers were fighting and dying in a war that many did not support. That is what fueled the protests. The Gaza situation is completely different. It's only the Muslims that are enraged. That's not true. Yeah, it's not true. There are tons of people on the left. It's most of the left is actually really worked up about it. Meanwhile, maybe half the right has its brain on properly. Saying, figure it out. We got our own problems to deal with. Sorry, Israel, you got this, right? You're a big boy. You don't need our help. Though I will give you this credit. With the drafting and everything going on during Vietnam, there was a much more pressing fear. Because Americans were being drafted, and you didn't know what day your boyfriend, your brother, your uncle, your cousin, your teacher, your boss, your coworker, your friend from church, your friend from school, doesn't matter where. Could be drafted, vanish, go to war, and never come back. And if they don't go, they get arrested at prison. You still don't see them again. So, I mean, you see them eventually when they get out of prison. You don't. So, no, there was a real pressing concern that that's just not here. And in fact, I would say the demands for a ceasefire and or the demands for funding for either side, I think both demands fervently are rapidly escalating this towards America's involvement, which would result. Same thing with Ukraine, Israel. There's already American troops on the ground. Joe Biden can say, well, there's no American troops. They are federal agents. A lot of them are federal enforcers and part of federal enforcement. Some of them are part of intelligence committees, and a lot of them are retired or off-duty servicemen who are over there right now. So whether you send them or not, there are American troops on the ground. So, you know, I can agree that they are different, but at the same time, I think by fueling either side of this argument, you're actually going to push us into either calling for a ceasefire or calling for funding for either side. There's no way out of this that doesn't result in a war other than just saying America doesn't care. Sorry. It sucks to be Israel. Figure it out. You'll see. Bye. From Avon, United States. When you have such a varied group of individuals all under one umbrella, this is bound to happen. Again, it happens with the right, too. The right's just more unified on this one because a lot of the people who came to the right under the first Trump administration and under the Biden administration were libertarians, independents, and like non-batshit insane, more centrist-leaning voters. More left or right-lean centrist-ish speaking. All went to the right because of Trump and policies or because of Biden and his policies. The people who didn't move over are kind of the batshit handful of people. Old fogies on the left watching CNN, old fogies on the left watching MSNBC, who are also getting wildly different worldviews from those two networks, by the way. Wildly different. But they both think they're good media because they're left media and they're legacy media. So you got these old fogies watching that, old fogies watching CBS, right? And they're getting a different type of corporate approved leftist talking point. Then you have the younger crowd watching people like Sam Sear, watching people like, well, that's his name. Can't think of it right now. He's the brain-broken version of Jordan Peterson. Sam Harris. Right? So they're watching that, watching Vosh, or they're watching Keffels, or those people destroy themselves. They're watching Destiny. They're watching ContraPoints. They're watching any number of these leftist talking points. Phil DeFranco. You know. Any one of these people. You should watch them, too, as people on the center or on the right, so you know what the other side is getting. Because you want to be able to maintain the ability to roughly explain what the opposition's views are to them and accurately to them. It really rips away their ability to say, well, you just don't understand. Because when you can clearly express it, you understand it and you still disagree with it, they'll do one or two things. Frustrate them and they vanish. Or maybe they'll listen to you. So I think the issue with the left is it's full of people who lack the ability to observe, to notice, and to take in common sense of their surroundings. People who want to mutilate their bodies, people who are on all kinds of drugs, people who are not reformed felons, illegal immigrants, children of illegal immigrants who were born here, and old boomers that just don't know better. And they're just in the dichotomy of the 60s. So. Any number of that. But the left is a mix of misinformed and aging out. And that's the division you have. You have all these old... Like, look, my prime example before I wrap it up, I'll show you this clip right up here. Actually kind of explained it. The well, it's gone now, but the one where all the ladies are yanking and grabbing that woman while she talks to Joe. Or, I guess, while she talks to Jill. You get the idea. All those old folks were reaching out, grabbing her, yanking her hair, yanking her shirt, yanking her sweater. They hate that shit. And the my generation, we're not going to tolerate random old fuckers grabbing us, telling us to knock it off. I've been at rallies. When I'm there as like not a camera guy or not really when I work when at rallies or events, just for myself or for my own content, and I can do a lot more of my own kind of shit. I have flipped, like when I was in Washington, D.C. for the Defeat the Mandate in American Homecoming with Robert Malone, Peter Navarro, Peter McCullough, and RFK speaking, all those guys. They had fucking snipers all over that bitch. Little red lasers. Watch my footage. You see little red dots slide over my lens occasionally. It fucks up the visual quality for minutes on end because the thing has to like unfuzz itself. It happens a few times. I flip off. It's off camera, but I flip off the sniper, right? Because I see the thing over my lens and the screen gets, you know, red and black and then goes back to normal. So I flip it off. Some old fucking cunt smacked my arm really hard and I turned around and shoved him. And I just went back to what I was doing. Everyone around, I didn't even wait to see what he was going to do. People around him said, hey, drop it. Drop it. You shouldn't have touched him. The guy went, fah! He turned around and he goes, I want to leave. He made it through a few feet through the crowd that was all compacted. And I heard him say, I can't fucking go anywhere. But he was like a couple, like 2 yards further away from me in the crowd. And the crowd was getting compacted anyway. Fuck that old bastard. My point being, we're not going to tolerate the older crowd telling us to do. Now, on the right, there's a little bit more of a respect towards the elderly. But there's still that, okay, boomer safe shit. Okay. Gen X is a little fucking off. Okay, millennials are retarded. Millennials are fucking stupid and broken people. Got it. But we'll at least listen to people who were here before us a little bit, even if we listen and then choose to disregard their advice. Not always, but there tends to be more of a tendency of that on the right. That's why you see so many people on the left complain about the fact of like, oh, well, you know, the Gen Z men are more conservative. They're like their grandparents. They're similar to their grandparents. Not their parents. They're going conservative. Well, a lot of it has to do with millennials and Gen X lefty people being incompetent and losing custody of their kids through one mean or another. So kids are being raised by their grandparents who saw how they fucking failed with their kids and they're fixing the mistakes they made with their grandkids. And that is creating more conservative people because the people who were largely Democrats in the 60s aged out and became conservative over time. A lot of people who were 60s voters for JFK ended up being Reagan voters in the 80s. If you're young and conservative, you have no heart. If you're old and Democrat, you have fucking brain. So the saying goes. But on the left, man, there's so much hatred towards the elderly, towards the old, towards the other. Anyone who's not directly passing my purity test on the left is an other and must be kicked out. Right? You're not really here. I've filmed riots where people who were just there smashing windows next to people in Black Bloc 1 minute are now being beaten by the same people they were just breaking into stores with because they said, I think we should leave a little bit here. Maybe we shouldn't take all this stuff. Or they say something. I don't even know what happens half the time. I'll be filming. La-di-da. We at the party. And all of a sudden, bam. This dude who was over here with his boys are now getting curb stomped by his boys. They're calling him a fascist, a traitor, a Nazi, a grifter, a fraud, X, Y, and Z. It's a constant purity test. You never fucking know. With the left, where you're going to stand when you're on the left. If you're on the right, you know where the left stands with and with each other. And you know where you stand. Alright, so. Let's just clip, shall we? Here you go. mind you, the DNC this year hasn't even happened yet. This is already going on. Oy vey. And just to show you some of the articles I'm going to be getting into, look. Violent clash at DNC headquarters sparked concerns over convention security. That's the footage you're watching right now. Judge denies abortion rights group protest permit ahead of DNC. Good call. Democrats brace for anti-Israel protests at Chicago convention. Chicago's top cop says police are getting training to manage protests during the DNC. Yeah. Yeah. And I've talked about my coverage of the DNC before in past episodes. Again, go to listen to types in DNC. You'll find my coverage of it. Boy. Yeah, there is going to be a violent clash. I'm willing to bet at the DNC this year. I'm not going. And I've advised people I know to get the fuck out of there and avoid that area as best as possible. During the 2020 season, I went down to Chicago and I filmed riots. I can see what I've seen what can happen. And for the average American, get the fuck out of there. Get your kids. You got some friends or family outside of town. Go see them. Spend a couple days there. You live anywhere near the DNC event. That being said, we'll wrap this up here. I've been your host, James Madison, and I will yap at you later. Welcome back to Inside Four Walls, where we believe the liberals and the Democrat Party are, of course, the most sane, trustworthy, rational, honest, open, diverse, inclusive, and equitable people on the planet. And we would never break from form, but hypothetically, if we were, we would probably say something along the lines of, violent clash at DNC headquarters sparks concerns over convention security. Officials emphasize that local police will be trained in de-escalation tactics. Now, this is an older article by Shia Kapoos from 11-17-2020, the end of last year, and my birth month. So, yay, everything I like, the end of a year and my birth month. Let's get into it. It will be quick. A pro-Palestinian protest at the Democrat Party headquarters in Washington, D.C. that turned violent is sending a jolt through the political circles in Chicago, which plans to host the party's presidential nomination convention this summer. The city still suffers scars from the bloody confrontation between police and anti-war protests during the 1968 Democratic National Convention, when the clash helped doom the party's nominee of Hubert Humphrey. Can you imagine having President Hubert Humphrey? Sorry, buddy. I mean, you sound like a president in the 1900s, but you sound like a president in the early 1900s. It's not the late. But moving on. Wednesday's flare-up in Washington, in which six police officers were injured and several lawmakers had to be evacuated from D.C. From the DNC headquarters, my apologies, has raised concerns that the increasingly heated divide over the Israel-Gaza conflict could bring violent protests in Chicago. Quote,
we have to anticipate that there's a lot of tension and very passionate positions,
said Chief of Staff for Mayor Rich Gaddis. Gaddis, my apologies. Who is helping direct logistics for the 2024 convention. Quote,
There's ongoing training already taking place, specifically in de-escalation training.
These cops are going to get curb stomped. They are going to have to bite the curb. I hate to tell you. Because the left is reading Rules for Radicals. And you guys are de-escalating your violence and increasing your passivity. And while normally I actually like that, now is not the time. But it's incredibly good for my news cycle. It's incredibly good for my content. It's incredibly good for my update while being different to my country, its unity, and its well-being as a nation. It's good content. So here I am, right?
I don't want it to happen. But I'll cover it.
Guidance, who talked to Politico after the meeting Thursday with Chicago Police Department officials about the convention, said that the Chicago Police Department is preparing for disruptions like the one in D.C., but way bigger and with way more illegal firearms.
Ghost guns.
Quote, there will be many, many workshops and conventions on how to handle large crowds. Kobe Glory, co-chair of the Chicago Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression. Shut up. Which has applied. It's all these grievance groups, right? Always perpetuating and dealing on that victim card. Different cards who just take it on hand because taking the victim card is a lot easier than taking ownership of your fucking fit. Right. And when you dumb down all the curriculum and all the grades, and you dumb down everything needed to be, you know, adult in this country to the point where people use words like adulting to describe going to their fucking jobs every day. I am adulting. I hate that word. I hate the people who say it. Like, I say it jokingly. The people who say it unironically all the time. I'm adulting. I'm adulting. They have, like, shirts and hats and mugs and shit. Ugh! I hate them. I hope they keep getting their boosters. Kobe Gilroy. Against racist and political repression, which has applied for a permit for 1,000 people to protest at the convention over Israel's actions in Gaza, following Gaza's invasion of Israel, said his group isn't going to be at the convention to pick a fight. He blames DC police for escalating the confrontation. Oh, this is going to be good. Bad for the country, but good for the view. Quote, it's up to the police. Look at what happened in the 1968. Look at what happened in 1968, he said, referring to the police in riot gear beating protesters and in an indelible image captured on television. Quote, we are planning to keep things family friendly, but we don't know what the police are planning. Oh, hell yeah. This is all coded language. There's going to be fun times ahead. They're doing the public scene thing where we're like, no, we're peaceful. We're totally peaceful. We're here with nothing besides loving funding from George Soros. Moving on. We aren't going to get into fistfights with police. We are going to air our grievances. Fingers crossed. Chicago has also seen dozens of protests, rallies, and vigils. Since October 7th, Hamas attack. What's really funny about this, and this is not going to be politically correct, I don't care, is the American media, owned by interesting people with a certain thing in common, happened to, run these ads and fund all these, like, BLM shit. Donate to BLM, run ad coverage for BLM, donate money so BLM could have all these ad spots. Push and, you know, stomp the ground for causes that would hurt America, but also they're not these same causes they would never stomp for in Israel. They stomp for here. And what you know, it's kind of funny when you see black people out there rioting against Israel, you kind of got to think certain people in corporate are thinking to themselves, I gave you everything, Goyim. You were part of our plans, Goyim. Why are you turning on me, Goy? I gave you everything. To which the black people are saying, shut up, Whitey! And all the white protesters are saying, shut up, whitey! All the white rioters, shut up, whitey! Which, they're not Jewish. Not the same thing. Not white. But alright. A Hamas attacks, again, the most politically correct show on the planet, did you hear that? Hamas attacks some, with a few thousand participants showing support for both Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza. Earlier this week, hundreds of activists, most of them Jewish, rallied near the Israel consulate in Chicago. Police said the protest was peaceful, though they arrested 106 demonstrators. Okay. Sounds like it was a peaceful gathering. Training is key, said former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Good riddance to that jackass. Who now serves as ambassador to Japan. My condolences to Japan. Quote, but the guy was always a closeted weeb, kind of like Ben Shapiro. Quote, we did months of training for NATO, and it was a model for future big events everywhere, he said in a text message. Gaddis agreed that preparations for the 2012 NATO summit are a model for Chicago's handling of protests this year. Police in riot gear face off for hours with thousands of anti-war protesters who had swooped in from across the country to voice their opposition to the organization. Some 50 protesters were arrested, including three accused of inciting terrorism. Chicago has a long history of large peaceful protests, including opposition. They have a long history of riots and deaths. They have a long history of so-called protests being riots. Okay, Politico. You're fucking damnful wording. Peaceful protests where 106 people were arrested. Oh. I mean, I'm not saying peaceful protesters don't get arrested, but want to elaborate on what that was? No? Okay. Your silence is noted, as you would say. Something about silence, being in action, I don't know, some retarded shit. Large peaceful protests. Mostly fiery, but mostly peaceful protests. Including opposition to the Iraq war, it's basically opposed to that. And outrage over the fatal shooting of a police officer by a black teenager. Laquan Mack. McDonald's, Laquan, McDonald's, Laquan, that's almost as unfortunate as his past. Quote, we've used these big events, we handle big demonstrations with negotiation and respect, and to make sure people stay nonviolent and peaceful, said a person within Chicago law enforcement who did not have the authority to speak on record. Quote, we want to make sure people are able to exercise their First Amendment rights. That's a top concern. But if laws are broken, we respond accordingly. Convention organizers express confidence in the city's planning. Quote, the safety and security of the convention delegates and guests is a top priority. Democratic convention organizers said in a statement, quote, we are closely coordinated with law enforcement overseeing security, including planning for expression of First Amendment rights, and we look forward to hosting what we are confident will be a safe and successful convention. The Democratic National Convention is designated as a national special security event, just like presidential inaugurations, the Olympics, and the Super Bowl. Yep, candles lit. Yep. A federal designation allows U.S. Secret Service to coordinate a, quote, a whole of government approach to all aspects of safety and security for attendees, residents, and visitors. Anthony Guglielmi, chief of communications for the Secret Service and Chicago Police alum, said in a statement to Politico, quote, while the convention is planned for next summer, teams have been on the grounds in Chicago for months intricate security plan with a full weight of the federal government, state, and city government, he said. Yeah, well, you know, if you want to read the last couple paragraphs here, you can. It'll be in the description below. We're actually going to over. Yeah. Now this is from January. Democrats brace for anti-Israel protests in Chicago. Disruptions at the recent Biden campaign hints at confrontations during the August convention. Yeah. And this, well, considering that I'm not going to pay to read this article, we're just going to hop over here to the other article. Now, while they're willing to approve anti-Israel pro-Hamas protesters, anti-racist X, Y, and Z, judge denies abortion rights group protest permit ahead of DNC. From February 1st, 2024. Now, let me just ask, of these two groups, if you had to put just $100 on what group? Actually, even to put $1 million down right now, which one of these two groups do you think has a higher likelihood to become violent and smash into your event? Do you think it's the pro-life, anti-abortion group, or the pro-Hamas is a terrorist organization and a political entity, pro-Hamas, pro-BLM faction? $1 million on the table. Where are you putting that? All your chips are going on black or red. Which one are you picking? And, yeah, I'm not subscribing to read that, so let's move right on over to this article. Boop. Chicago's top cop says police are getting training to manage protests during the DNC. Yep.
Let me take one step back, which is the big change in the race for president.
Bear with me for one second. All right, we have two videos to watch here, so let's get into it.
The federal government is giving the city of Chicago $75 million to help pay for security during the Democratic National Convention this summer.
And today, the mayor, police superintendent, and other city leaders meeting at City Hall to announce that a DNC safety plan is at work. WGN's Joel Hillary joining us now live from City Hall with details. Joel.
Hi, good evening, Micah and Ray. In preparation for the DNC, CPD Superintendent Larry Snelling says officers are being trained to handle large-scale protests that could turn violent. He also says that lessons learned from the 2012 NATO summit here in Chicago are helping officers get ready for the convention. Rick Chang, owner of Chicago Oyster House in the South Loop, anticipates a boost in business during the upcoming Democratic National Convention in August.
We're looking forward to that, and we definitely have to prepare.
The restaurant is walking distance from McCormick Place, one of the DNC hubs. Rick says he's got confidence in the city's safety plan as more than 50,000 people, including protesters, are expected to head to Chicago for the convention.
This could be one of the biggest, so we hope to see more presence, more patrols.
In preparation for the massive event, CPD Superintendent Larry Snelling says Secret Service agents will focus on securing inside the DNC hubs, McCormick Place, and the United Center, while CPD officers manage city neighborhoods.
We are training our officers for these large-scale protests, understanding the First Amendment, constitutional policing. Every single thing that we're doing right now is rooted.
Everyone, Officer Larry is on the job. No leisure shoots here.
In constitutional policing.
The Republican National Convention is taking place in Milwaukee about a month before the DNC. On Wednesday, lawmakers announced both Chicago and Milwaukee will receive $75 million from the federal government to provide additional security during both conventions. When asked about possibly bringing in the National Guard for additional safety measures, Mayor Johnson said talks about what else is needed.
That's why I love to see my army. My armed services full of scrawny, weak youths and disheveled elderly people. Luckily, they're diverse and mixed race, so, you know, I feel safe and secure knowing that no army in the world would ever attack such a standing pillar of diversity. Would it kill any of these fuckers to have a little bit of muscle on them? Look, I'm sure, like, this dude looks like a little bit of a threat. This guy could probably sit on you pretty decently. But, like, my goodness. These, like, hold on. What's this fat fucker securing? A donut? Officer? Or U.S. Army Paulette? Paulette? That's Afro. A-F-R-O. Like the rapper, right? Fucking Afro villain over there. Okay, bud. So if you don't know who A-F-R-O is, check him out. Good shit if you like MF Doom style shit. He's up there. But, like, look at these. Like these chicks ain't gonna do shit. I'll get curb stomped. You got this fucking way above the chimney tops motherfucker right here. And, like, cheers. Look at all these folks. Like, old, fat, frumpy, or scrawny.
Mayor Johnson said talks about what else is needed.
If I was a world leader, that army does not intimidate me. Now, a bunch of, like, jacked motherfuckers with rifles and shit slung over their shoulders and whatnot. Sure! Hey, I like that. You know what this means? Bring back the requirements to be in the service to where they used to be and drop all the woke bullshit. And also, probably get... How about this? Not probably. How about you get women out of combat role? Period.
Or James, what do they pass?
If they pass the test and you don't lower the bar for entry, you'll have that genetic freak that passes, that 0.001% of women. That's the outlier, not the rule.
Have not been determined.
The National Guard, that's under the jurisdiction of the governor of Illinois.
Cuck.
So, all I can say is what I am responsible for and how we are coordinating with every single level of government.
Rick says he's felt safe when big events have come to the South Loop in the past, and he's optimistic his restaurant will be okay during the convention.
Based on what I experienced, I think I have full confidence they could do their job.
Anything happened, me and my family, we go up to rooftop. We know what we doing. We have rooftop. We aim down. We do what we did in California. We do this before. Rooftop.
The Democratic National Convention is scheduled August the 19th through the 22nd.
Last clip we're going to watch. And we'll skim through the article and go from there, but we're pretty much done with this. Bump up the quality a little bit. Oh.
Tonight, the I-team has been told by current and former federal law enforcement officials of a gathering storm at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago in mid-August. The current political and social environment is a tinderbox, according to one recent top Homeland Security administrator. The specifics of the threat may not yet be known, but she says we know it's coming.
Our future is created right here.
Inside the United Center of the Future, mid-August, will be a national special security event.
I want everybody here to rest assured that we are working to make sure that the city is safe and we have the best convention that we can possibly have.
You are in good hands.
The threat environment is the most complex, dynamic, and quite frankly dangerous that I've seen in the 40 plus years that I've been involved in law enforcement and homeland security.
Former Undersecretary of Intelligence at the Department of Homeland Security, now an ABC News contributor, John Cohen, says law enforcement is prepared, but for what?
What law enforcement is preparing for is a so-called nightmare scenario. A scenario in which a physical attack would be conducted at the same time you would see a cyber attack potentially targeting the 911 center or the communications capability of area law enforcement, along with calls and other activities that draw resources away.
With Chicago in the crosshairs of terror groups and violence-prone political extremists, tonight this Homeland Security bulletin spells out the threats here and the July Republican event in Milwaukee. Nation, state, and non-state actors may view these events as an opportunity to influence or disrupt the U.S. political process using hostile or violent disruption tactics on a national media stage. These four major focuses, including foreign malign influence, the spreading of false political messages.
While the threat environment is highly dangerous, you increase the potential that the conventions will go off without a major security incident when state and local authorities are well prepared.
The U.S. Secret Service manages Democratic convention security with manpower backbone of Chicago Police. Some federal law enforcement sources tonight expressing concern about the ongoing and worsening staffing shortage at CBD and just how thin the department will be stretched. The security plan is scheduled to be publicly unveiled the first week of March. Then the government.
Actually, you know what? I just thought about something. Hold on. I had to hop over to the other account real quick. Alright, let's make sure everything is recording. Okay, maybe you guys should watch this.
Members of the Youth International Party, Yippies, they called themselves, converged on Chicago. They said they were there to protest the war, poverty, racism, and other social ills. Some of them were also determined to provoke a confrontation, to draw attention from the convention to the streets. Mayor Mayor Richard Daley vowed to keep it peaceful, even if it took force to keep the peace. He was backed by 12,000 police, 5,000 National Guardsmen, 7,500 regular army troops. Of marshals and dozens of policemen were injured. Restraint was absent on both sides. This was later called a police riot. During that frightful week, the demonstrators repeatedly tried to march on the side of the convention, the stockyards. Repeatedly, they were forced back.
They tried to breach the convention.
Even inside the convention hall, the virus of violence was pervasive.
Yep.
Dan Bradley, a former frontline of CDS News.
Take your hands off of me, Dan. As you intend to arrest me, don't push me, please.
Now, by the way that you saw Herbert Humphrey as a massive pro-war pig, which he was, they see Joe Biden the same fucking way. Joe Biden's just another pro-war war pig waiting to start the Third World War, and that's what they're afraid of. That's what they think. We've been saying this since the beginning of his administration, that this is a war candidate. The left just figured that out. And the old left is like, oh, I don't care. They completely don't see the connection. Just like how they saw Herbert Humphrey as this war pig that needed to be stopped. How the progressive and radical left see Joe Biden. And they're not going for Trump. They're going anti-Biden, which helps Trump. So, I welcome their stupidity. So let's get back here. And this is largely just the same old that we already read with the other stuff. Just, you know, police training, police getting ready, riots expected in Chicago. If you really want, I'll spare you. You guys can read this article in the description below. You get the general concept. I'll wrap it up here. I don't need to keep you guys longer for shit. So, that being said, this has been Inside Four Walls. I've been Tristan Smasson, and I will, later.
I thought it was all over.